We have been watching the COVID headlines very closely this morning as we see case counts tick up. And also just anecdotally, we hear a lot a lot of breakthrough cases, potentially the Omicron variant. It's unclear exactly the effect it's having as of yet. And there's been some mixed research on the severity of that variant as well. It should become more clear, of course, as we get that delay typically between cases and hospitalizations as we get more data on that. We did get some more data and a new recommendation from the CDC as well, which is recommending the mRNA vaccines of Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech over the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because of a rare chance of serious blood clots from the J&J vaccine. And we're also getting some new information from Pfizer specifically about vaccine sales. The company says next year, it's holding an investor call right now, and it says next year it's expecting COVID-19 vaccine sales of about $31 billion size. Obviously, this has meant a big lift for them in 2021. I'm not sure how that matches with what analysts were looking for next year, but the stock is trading lower.
Julie, it's unclear how that matches up to analyst estimates. I get it, but this is a very big number, and obviously going to be a key contributor for Pfizer next year and even for many years to come. And as an investor, I think you really have to take a step back here and wonder, why isn't the likes of a Pfizer and Moderna probably not in your portfolio? You have to be thinking that these names, these vaccine names, are essentially or should be core holdings in your portfolio because, look, they have created essentially the VAS business model. I just created that right now out of thin air, top of my head. Vaccine as a service, because we're going to have to be taking these vaccines related to COVID likely for many years to come. And that is a recurring revenue stream for the likes of Pfizer and Moderna and even a J&J.
And just a couple of other notes here on Pfizer. First of all, the company reached four record closes this week. So if it does fall today, it'll be the first time this week. It has not closed at a record level. It's also risen for six straight sessions going into today's session and was potentially poised for its best week ever, speaking of Pfizer. So we'll see if today's declines do erase that kind of milestone. I'm looking through some of the estimates here for those 2022 vaccine sales. One analyst, Cantor Fitzgerald's Louise Chen, was looking for, vaccine sales. Well, hers were a little bit further out, so it's unclear what the comparable number still is for next year. But again, we're seeing Pfizer decline after estimating its COVID-19 vaccine sales next year of about $31 billion. We'll keep watching the action in those drug makers and keep watching those COVID headlines as we head toward the opening bell this morning. So on this Friday, we consider those COVID headlines. We consider what's happening with interest rates and the path of interest rate policy, as we learned from the Federal Reserve this week. We could see three interest rate increases, according to the dot plot, next year. And important note that Steve Sosnick flagged for us, it's expirations day for futures and options contracts, which tends to create some potentially unpredictable and outsized moves in the major averages, as well as in specific stocks. So that is something, folks, to keep in mind as you're watching the action here this morning. And the action here this morning is negative. The Nasdaq opening up 0.9% lower. The S&P and the Dow also lower. Tech stocks continuing to get hit here this morning, Saz. And also sort of momentum stocks, right? Let's put Rivian in that category, shall we? Because the company reported after the close of trading yesterday, the stock has been up since it started trading as a public company. But that's not the case today, because it's saying it's not going to meet its production target.
A couple of things wrong here with the Rivian quarter. Of course, I think traders, investors knew Rivian wasn't going to earn any money anytime soon. Now, having known that, and actually seeing it on the financial statements are two different things with high-flying stocks. And to that point, Rivian lost $1.23 billion in the most recent quarter as they ramp up production at their various facilities and also look to build new facilities to support their ambitions to be a leader in the electric truck field and even SUVs. You know, they recently released their first SUV. I believe it's the R1S. They started shipping those out, I believe, this month. But you take that loss, combine it with the fact that Rivian said they're going to fall a couple hundred units short of their delivery estimates this year, and you're going to get a profit take. You're going to get profit taking on that, and you're going to see estimates come down for the balance of this year and the balance of next year.
Well, and this is just a reminder as well, right? Do you remember in the beginning, not even just in the beginning, how much trouble Tesla had making cars, a company that was a startup car maker in an industry that, you know, the conventional wisdom is requires a lot of sort of institutional knowledge. And here you have another company that's trying to do the same. And so, you know, it's unclear exactly what the reason for the shortfall is, but it's just kind of a reminder that these things don't go straight up and to the right, you know, like it's not that easy to make a car from scratch when you have never done it before.
And this is why, Julie, the play here probably is still Ford. That, to your point, that institutional knowledge, incredibly important in the automaking industry, but also the infrastructure. I mean, you have a Rivian. I mean, the products are cool. Don't get me wrong. They are just absolutely awesome. Love the YouTube reviews. I continue to watch because I can't get enough of them. But they are ramping up production. And look, like you just said, Tesla had a lot of problems pulling this off, and it took them a while to reach profitability. Eventually, originally, it was, I believe, last year they switched on that gear. It's going to take a while for Rivian to get there. And it's not even clear if they will get there in terms of profitability.
Yeah, that is a great note, a great reminder. Let's talk about FedEx also, shall we? Because that company coming out with its numbers after the close of trading as well, and said earnings came in above what analysts have been estimating. You see the shares are up 8%. A lot of this has to do with higher prices for delivery, and they can command those higher prices because everybody wants their stuff and they want it right now, Brian.
Yeah, really, it is FedEx's game and even UPS, and we're just living in it. And FedEx noting, I think, sending some bullish signals on the earnings call last night, which interestingly didn't include FedEx founder Fred Smith. Just a little mental note there for investors and traders out there. But pricing power remains strong. They're looking for an acceleration in their earnings growth for the next 6 months or the back half of the year. That is very good. Street likes to hear that. What the street didn't like, margins continue under the pressure in the ground business. But historically, the stock works well when profits are growing in FedEx Express, and that appears to now be the case. I will add real quickly, Julie, I have a piece right now on the Yahoo Finance homepage talking about the hiring that FedEx is doing, and the company's COO on the call last night noting last week they ingested 111,000 applications for people seeking jobs at FedEx. A couple months ago, they received 52,000 applications. So we're talking about a lot of a tight labor market, lots of job switching. People clearly want to work at FedEx.
Yeah, incredible numbers. It's costing them more, by the way, because of the worker shortage, because of all of that processing and because of hiring those people. Extra costs is what the company said it had, $470 million compared with a year ago because of the labor shortage. Last quarter, that was $450 million. So ticking up a little bit, although I did see some commentary that the company is expecting the worker shortage to start to get better in the current quarter. So it'll be interesting to get some more color on that. And then finally today, Oracle may be looking at buying the healthcare company Cerner. Now, this is interesting because we think about Oracle as a cloud company, as an enterprise services company, right? Cerner is an electronic medical records company. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that these two are in talks. The deal could be worth around $30 billion. An agreement could come soon. And this would actually be, this is interesting, this would be the biggest deal ever for Oracle. And I think of Oracle as so acquisitive. So it's sort of surprising, although, I mean, yes, $30 billion is a big deal, but still it's kind of just anecdotally to me surprising that this would be the biggest deal that they've ever done. But Oracle has sort of built itself through acquisitions, even though this is, it's not an entirely new area for them, but it is a relatively new area for them. So interesting here that we're getting this report this morning and the Cerner shares are just absolutely bouncing a lot. Analysts are also saying that the premium for that $30 billion price tag would imply not a huge premium. An analyst at Barclays said it would be only a modest premium of about 20%. So interesting here, the market seems to think that this is likely.
Yeah, clearly Oracle wants to buy something, Julian, and very big. Keep in mind, it was about a year ago or 2 years ago, they were rumored to be kicking the tires on TikTok. But if you're going to make a deal, if you're Larry Ellison in Oracle, and if you're going to make a deal, do it now, because they have put up two very impressive quarters here that we've talked a lot about here. Momentum in their cloud business is really accelerating. The time to do a deal is when you have one over the street again, as they clearly have. So why not pull the trigger?
Yeah, so we'll be watching for that deal to potentially happen.